My name is Sylvia Jimenez, and I'm the former manager of community benefits with Kaiser Permanente Northern California, Southern Alameda County. And this is what we're presenting today is one of our grant projects that was funded in 2011. So I'm just going to frame the issue of what community benefits is with Kaiser Permanente if you're not aware of it. We do have some information out by that table out there. Our current manager is here to answer specific questions, but I just wanted to let you know that community benefit, what it does is improves our communities. We give funds to our community in grants and other special programs. And in 2011, Kaiser Permanente invested in California, $1 billion in programs and services. And we have community benefit programs all over the country where there's a Kaiser, and it's with grant programs and other initiatives that we work in. And then last year in our Southern Alameda area, we gave out over close to $1 million in community grants to over 40 community partners, and Dr. Faniff's project is one of those grants that we fund. So.
Okay, I'm going to introduce Dr. Faniff now. He's a physician that graduated from the University of Michigan Medical School in 78 and completed his fellowship in dermatology at the University of Missouri in 1982. He is currently a staff dermatologist, a communication consultant, and chief medical staff education for Kaiser Permanente in Hayward, California. However, he also serves as medical director for the Ashland Free Medical Clinic in San Lorenzo, California. The Ashland Clinic received a grant from the community benefit programs of Kaiser, as previously mentioned, and he's here today to present on that program. Thank you. We won't deduct Sylvia's time from you.
All right. Thank you. Hello to everyone. And I'd like to, before I start, to thank the Kaiser Permanente for helping us fund this grant, and also the Latino Caucus for letting us present this project. So to give you an idea of what actually happened is, I'm a medical director of a free clinic that's just down the road from here in San Lorenzo, California, about 20 minutes from here. And it's been open for the last 8 years. And we have, as many clinics have, a difficult time controlling diabetes in our patients. And so we decided to do a home promotories program, which I heard about a while back. And we're into our third year now, and this is talking about our second year, which is recorded, the data was from 2011. And the goal of our program was pretty modest. We wanted to decrease the hemoglobin A1C by 0.7 points. And we initially had 34, we actually offer this to every single patient that we identify in our clinic as having diabetes. We offer this to every single one. And thank goodness, most of them do take us up on that. So this particular year, 34 patients participated in at least part of the program, and there was four components: a baseline hemoglobin A1C, and then a hemoglobin A1C after at least 3 to 6 months to measure improvement, and then the other two things were two home visits, one initial one and one for reinforcement later on. So 29 had at least two home visits, which I was very happy about, and 17 completed the whole study, which would be two home visits, the hemoglobin A1C at the baseline, and one 3 or 6 months later. And we found that the total decrease in hemoglobin A1C for the study was 2.0. So with diabetes, for those of you who may not be familiar, and I know the previous presenter is very familiar with the complications, and many of you may be, there's the macrovascular, and we're talking about macrovascular is big blood vessels. And when things go wrong with the big blood vessels, you get heart attack and strokes. And so diabetes is a contributing factor for those events. So controlling diabetes will help with those, prevent the incidence of those in our patients. And then there's the microvascular. Microvascular is for the smaller blood vessels. And what does that mean? In simple terms, you can imagine how big a hair shaft is. The small microvessels are actually smaller than a hair shaft. And so diabetes and the hemoglobin A1C, which is the best measure of control of diabetes, is closely associated with these particular serious side effects, such as neuropathy, which is a problem with the nerves, specifically peripheral neuropathy, and nephropathy, where they have problems with their kidney, and retinopathy, where they have problems with vision. So going into this in a little more detail, when people have problems with peripheral neuropathy, they have problems with sensation, sometimes tingly sensation, sometimes numbness. So if you can't feel your feet and you bump something and injure it, you can have a bad injury, it can get infected, and the end stage is some patients end up with amputation. So a lot of bad things can happen due to the peripheral neuropathy. And then if the blood vessels in your kidney are not working, then you're going to have loss of kidney function, and some very serious things can happen, including renal failure or kidney failure. And this is also preventable. And then loss of eyesight is another big one. So what happens in diabetes is there's something called neovascularization. And what that means is that you get a lot of new blood vessels, which unfortunately are very fragile, and they rupture and hemorrhage easy. So when that happens, a lot of bad things happen. The retina can become detached. The end result is you damage the retina, which is permanent, and then you have loss of vision, and if this keeps on occurring, you can get blindness. As a matter of fact, a lot of people aren't aware, the main cause, the most important cause of blindness in patients aged 25 to 74 is diabetes. And that is mostly preventable if we can control. So that is a big motivation for us as healthcare providers, whether we're a physician or a promotores, because we know we have a chance, an opportunity to really help people and prevent these complications. And it's a great motivator for patients, too, because a lot of times they don't know the consequences of having diabetes, and so knowing this and helping them control their diabetes, that helps. It's a big motivation for them. So the promotores program for us is going to the patient's home and educating not just the patient, but the entire family, because it's really important. Let's say the patient knows what to eat, but the main cook doesn't know, then it'd be quite challenging for the patient to have the proper diet. So we educate the whole family, and we usually use the word healthy eating rather than diet, because diet has a negative connotation to some people. And we also work a little bit on exercise too, since those two things are very important. And when we did this program, we initially just did the healthy eating and exercise in the home program, and then I realized, gosh, there's a great opportunity to work on medications. So this year in 2012, we've added that. So every time they go there, they don't not only have the results of the hemoglobin A1C to discuss with the patient, but they have the list of all the medications to find out if the patient is taking them correctly. And if the patient is not, they'll go over it with it until they understand, and they talk with one of the doctors who are supervising, and that doctor will also do a follow-up call and discuss with the patient to make sure they're doing things properly so that the compliance is as good as possible. Now, the one thing that I really like about this model is that in every clinic, no matter what the socioeconomic group is, there's a problem with health literacy. And health literacy is the ability to read, understand, and implement the actions that you need to take care of your health. And so basically this is the simple way I understand it. Matter of fact, I read an article in a newspaper that put it this way. When a person has a health problem, they want to know three things. What is the problem? What can I do about it, which in this case is exercise and diet and medication? And then why is it important for me to make these changes, you know, take the medication, et cetera? And of course, I've outlined some of the consequences of not following things. So we can address all these things in the so that we make sure that the patient really understands what they have. Many times we ask the patient, do you understand what diabetes is? And for some reason, maybe the doctor didn't explain it properly. Maybe they were too shocked to find out they had diabetes. However, once we sit down in the comfort of their home, we're able to find out and help them understand their problem. Also, individual and culturally relevant recommendations. So this is an example of what we do. We know that in a lot of Latino recipes, there's going to be lard as part of the recipe, okay? So lard is not the healthiest thing in the world, right? So we asked them to substitute, could you substitute olive oil or canola oil? And most of them are willing to give that a try. Also, we know that there's many first-generation immigrants who are used to using the tortilla as a spoon to eat up the refried beans or other vegetables on the plate. And so they may end up using five tortillas and a lot of calories, whereas if they use a utensil like a spoon, they might have two or three. So just simple things like that, we talk to them about to see if we can help them. And then we also give individual exercise recommendations. I'll give an example. I observed a session where the promotores were doing this about 2 weeks ago in a community just a few minutes from here. And this one lady, she was a we'll talk about her a little bit more later. She's a 48-year-old female, and we asked her if she could exercise when she got home from work or at any time. She said, no way. She said, here's my daughter sitting right next to me. She goes to work as soon as I come home, and then I have to take care of her daughter, my granddaughter. So there's just no way. However, she says, I like to dance. And could I do that in front of the TV or, you know, and or like play a CD? We said, great. Yes, definitely. As long as you do it enough every day. So like that, we try and do something that they enjoy and that is individualized for them. So that's how we individualize exercise. And then the thing that I'm really most excited about is we have the opportunity to prevent diabetes in the entire family and sometimes two or three generations. I'll give you an example. The same patient I was talking about, she's sitting over here. Right next to her is her daughter, who's in her 20s, and her daughter is holding her child, who's probably about 6 or 7 months. So we had the opportunity there to educate and make a difference in the lives of three different generations, because I can tell you the patient was super motivated, and so was her daughter. I could tell by when we were talking with them, the visit usually lasts 45 minutes to an hour. This particular one lasted about an hour and 20 minutes because the patient and her daughter had so many questions, and it was obvious that they were very interested in learning about what we had to share with them. And then family support and reinforcement. I mentioned this briefly early. We want the whole family to know about it so that it can support the person who has diabetes as far as exercise, diet, and the main person we need to help get this education to, as I mentioned before, is the cook. And so I want to make sure the cook is there if possible. Okay, so who are these people that do this? We have, so far we've trained probably about 10, oh, I think probably a dozen by now. And they're usually young college students who are interested in helping people, and they work at our free clinic. This program, by the way, is implemented by all volunteers. These are young college kids, many of them pre-med, who are volunteering at our free clinic. And then this is the first time in the history of our clinic. We've been open for 8 years, and no one's got paid anything. It's everything is 100% volunteer. But when we start doing the promotories program, I'll get to the point where we actually do pay the promotories a little bit when they make the home visits. So they are young college students for the most part. Some of them are middle-aged, middle-career people who are volunteering at our clinic. The majority of them are college students. So how do they learn? Well, Kaiser Permanente gives a basic diabetes class to every single patient that has diabetes. Now, not all patients take advantage of that, but most do. So we have them go to the same class that all the patients get as far as basic diabetes, and then we have them study those booklets, and then we give them a test on that to check their knowledge to see if they understand. And then we have a physician who has some special interest in that, or a healthcare educator, give them additional information. Then, in addition, we have them do on-the-job training where they're going two at a time, so they have another person observing them and helping them learn on the job. And then we also are starting to do now a written test of competence, both for the promotories after they've done it for a while, and also a test from the observer to see what the evaluator thinks. So they always work in pairs as far as operation-wise, and the reason that's important, I think, is one for safety, but mostly not for safety. Mostly it's because a lot of times there's a big group of people, the whole family is there, and so things can get pretty wild, and so it's good to have a couple of facilitators. And I noticed the visit I was attending, there was just three people there, just the patient and her daughter and her child. However, at one point, when we were helping put the food back in the refrigerator, because we teach them how to read the food labels and what it means, the daughter said very sheepishly, "Oh, I didn't really understand what you explained to my mother about food labels. Could you tell me a little bit more about that?" So one promotories took her aside and explained to her, she understood, and the other kept on focusing on what the other person wanted to know. And they do a number of other things. They also bring, I think I mentioned this earlier, they bring the lab results from the last visit so they discuss with the patient, and they bring also now the list of medications so that they can go over that with them, and that helps them check with competence and compliance. And they also bring and help schedule the next office visit and lab visit, and also if it's the first visit, because there's two visits total in the program, they'll schedule the second office, or actually in addition to the office visit, they'll schedule the second home visit with the patient, so we get all that done at the first home visit. And then the last thing that they do, which is very important, and I'll show you some pictures, is they bring these food models and also some written educational material which they'll go through with the patient. So here's our food models, which are really pretty cool. They are they're so realistic and actually feel like real food. It's just amazing. I love you watching them use these things. So we put them in this little plastic container, and it's easy. It only weighs about 5 or 6 pounds to carry around in the trunk from visit to visit. And this is what it looks like. It's got basically two food models in there. This is the basic food model that would apply for any ethnic group. And basically what we try and do for most people is we give them a plate and we let them play and practice on the plate so that we say, take about a half your plate and fill it up with vegetables. So they say, oh yeah, I like that vegetable. I like this one. And so they start putting it on the plate. And then in the little corner they put the meat and they realize, oh, I've been eating maybe more meat than I need. And then the other corner they put the grains and other things like pasta or rice, so they get an idea how much to eat. And then we have a separate food model for Hispanic food. So as you can see, burrito, tortillas, and taco. And so then they can use foods that they're, for a Hispanic patient, they can use foods that are more realistic, and we experiment with combinations that will be a healthy combination for them. So this is very interactive education. The first thing we do is we sit down at the visit and we say, okay, what do you know about diabetes? What do you, can you tell us that you understand? And then once we find out what they know, we reinforce that information and then we add to that so that they have a better understanding. We also find out what they normally eat, and then we have them go over the foods and we practice with the food models. And as I just discussed, the food models are just fabulous for helping us work on proportion size. And they really enjoy that, and they seem to really get into that. Then we actually take food out of the refrigerator with their permission in the counters, and we go over the food labels, and we teach them how to do that. And that seems to be something that they really appreciate. So I'll go over just a couple cases with you. The first one is a 48-year-old Hispanic female with a hemoglobin A1C of 6.2. And for those of you who know about diabetes, you'll say, well, that's not very bad diabetes. And I love seeing patients like this. She was just diagnosed. And so when the doctor saw her, the doctor says, if you just exercise and eat properly, we won't even have to put you on medication. So this particular patient was really highly motivated. And after a visit that lasted about an hour and 15 minutes, I asked her, I said, could you please tell me how the visit went? Was it helpful? And she said, yes, it was very helpful. I learned about the foods that I have been eating that aren't so healthy, and now I know what some substitutes are. And she said, she said something that made all of us feel really good. She said, I am really motivated to change the way I eat and a lot of things, because not for myself, but for my daughter here and my granddaughter. She says, that's what's really motivating me. So the fact that she loved and cared about her, her child, her daughter, and her granddaughter was what really motivated her. So we felt good about being part of a process like that. And also we felt good because we're really optimistic that she's going to be successful in, you know, the changes that we've talked to her about.
5 minutes.
5 minutes, okay. Thank you. And then and as I mentioned, the daughter was really into it also, because she was asking many questions, including how to read the food labels, and she got a lot out of it also. So we had a chance to have impact on three generations there. The second patient is a 55-year-old female who had already been on medication for some time. She had a hemoglobin A1C of 7.6. And the reason I put her as an example is because we had multiple interventions with her. Even though we went to her home just twice, Richie, which is one of the young volunteers, who is a promotory or a health educator that helped her, said that she was so motivated. And so I looked at her results, and we actually did 4 hemoglobin A1Cs on her baseline and 3 after that. And each one progressively went down, down, down over an entire year. And also her diet, you can see that she went from 162 to 144 pounds, or in kilos, 73 to 65. And we all know how hard it is to lose weight. And it's usually easy to backslide after just a few months. And this lady, because for whatever reason, she just stayed motivated, and after a year, she was still losing weight and still dropping her hemoglobin, which got down to 6.1, which is, as you know, really good control. Okay, so now the cost of the home visits. It comes out to $80 per patient for the two home visits. We pay each promotories $20 to make a home visit, and we have two that go for each visit, so 2 times 20 is 40 for one visit, and for two visits, it's 80. Now, we're not including in the cost of the labs And of course, if you're running a clinic that's not a free clinic like ourselves, you have to have administrative costs for people who are running it. So there was some additional lab costs, and in our free clinic, we absorb that, the cost of the labs, which we do for all patients anyways, and Kaiser Permanente's grant helped us pay for that as well. So, and then the basic food items, if you like the idea about those food item kits, they cost $250 a piece, and that includes the basic food model plus the one that with Hispanic foods, so that's the total cost. And I noticed down at the exhibit hall, which I went to just before I got here, they have other booths that have food models too. I'm still looking for the junk food model because a lot of our patients have junk food, and we want to try and let them know what's the healthiest junk food they can have when they go to the trucks and McDonald's, et cetera. Okay. So this was funded from the Community Benefit Program of Kaiser Permanente, Southern Alameda. And so again, thanks to Arlene Carino, who is here representing the Kaiser Permanente's Community Benefits Department, so thank you very much. And she'll be available afterwards. And also, we had basically free or in-kind training from our health education department at Kaiser Permanente at Union City, thanks to Diana Cosio-Sandino, who is a senior healthcare educator there. And then we had several doctors like myself that helped oversee it. So basically, here's our contact information. If any of you would like to get in touch with us, thank you for your attention, and I think that, this will be available for you later. So that's the end.
Great. Thank you.